Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for everything. The show kind of ended on a trying to fix the airline. Had a little bit of technical difficulties, so everyone, please definitely stay tuned in right here on WMQP 107.3 FM, and we're going to get to some music right here on the Miss Chocolate Show.
Nia finna sing that Georgia song.
What? I know she not gonna sing that song.
I can. Okay, man, that's better. Yes, I was having problems with my mic on the show, so I had to fix it, and then I made a second close the show. I don't know what I was all over the place. But anyway, introduce yourself to the world.
Okay, so after all that technical difficulty, I'm glad to be here, so thank you for having me on your show. My name is Bonnie Lady Lee. I am the creator of Bonnie Lee Books, which is an educational children's book company, and it focuses on books for kids or baby from 3 and for young readers from 3 to 8 years old.
Okay, so the book that really, you know what, my daughter, I have a lot of your books here, and it was amazing that I'm actually interviewing you now. So how did you become an author? What made you start writing books?
So I've always been a writer ever since I started being able to read and write. So I've always had a creative mind that wanted to express ideas and never really knew how to get all these ideas out, put on paper from when I was a young one. But then as I've gotten older and then gone through college and taking creative writing classes, I was able to kind of like hone in all of those creative ideas into like short stories or essays. And then as I continued my education, I've taken just a lot of writing classes and worked in the creative market field for years. And then came across kind of a do-it-yourself publishing, which was quite new at the time, where the traditional outlet for people who write books were to get a literary agent, which would basically review your manuscript and decide whether your book was ready to move forward to being published or not. So that was the traditional way of going. Books such as the Random House, Scholastic, Puffin, Penguin Books, you would have somebody who was sort of like your agent. And it was really up to them to decide whether your book could be published or not. So you could put in all this creative and time and energy, and it was really left to like one person to decide your fate on this. So I never really understood that. I always felt there was probably a lot of books out there that should have been heard by, you know, should have been published, should have been out there, and just never had the opportunity to do so because, you know, your hands, your books, your work is in the hands of like one person. And most mm-hmm. of the time, it's not even like their choice whether the book would be published or not. It's they get so many manuscripts, your book may have never even been opened. It could be still sitting on their desk. So they get a magnitude of work, and they can only get through so many. So if they find something that's really, really good, they're going to push that through. And they'll probably spend more time on that than going through the endless piles of manuscripts that came in from hopeful authors. So what mm-hmm. I ended up doing was when I was in university, I basically took kind of like a contract class. And with this contract class, it's kind of like a pre-law style class, I realized that there was a new opportunity for authors to be able to write their own book and get them out on the marketplace without a literary agent. And big companies like Amazon kind of dialed into this idea that they were getting really bogged down with people trying to get their books on their platform, the Amazon platform, because back in the day, Amazon used to be known as one of the largest book distributing companies. It was for books. It really wasn't for all the stuff that you see on Amazon now. And only a few and far between books really make it onto their specific platform. Most of the people who have books have signed up with one of their services called Author House, where they, Amazon as the agent, will print your books on demand. And you don't really have a lot of creative rights with that. You basically send in your script and maybe illustrations, and they'll maybe print it as is, or you could just send them text and they'll create the illustrations for you. But the royalties that you will get for that is very small, so you have to be able to sell millions of your books on Amazon in order to make any return on investment for that. So that gave me the other knowledge of I'm not going to print my books with Amazon, because once again, the control of the money, the distribution, the quality, everything was out of my hands, because basically it's not a literary agent, but it's Amazon who is creating your books. So to make a long story short, I basically just figured out all the ins and outs of working in copyright infringement and all the other licensing type of things from various jobs that I've had, which taught me how to do it for their company, and ended up finding factories in China, working with China, and just printing my book direct, then going to endless amounts of trade shows and different types of forums where I could sell my book business to business and scale the product to a point where the books have large distribution all across the country and even in three different countries. So, yeah, it's a long roundabout process. And for anybody listening who's interested in having their books printed and published and basically distributed, it's a beast. It's a lot of work. I mean, you got to be able to lift all those books, and you got to be able to lift at least 30 pounds, because you'll be taking boxes of these books with you everywhere you go. And you have to be able to not only be creative, but you have to sell. I mean, at the end of it, you have to get these books into your readers' hands. And to do that, you have to be able to sell it. So there's a lot of like skill sets that go into not just writing a book, but be able to get that book out to the marketplace. And I did what a lot of authors do, is they try to find a genre or a niche of where they want their books going, like to whom is this book for. And for me, my books were always set up for the preservation of endangered species and wildlife conservation issues. So I targeted zoos, aquariums, discovery centers, museums, and I go to those shows specifically that sell products in their gift shop. So, but to set up those accounts and to get those leads and to work with the buyers, it's huge undertaking. It's really expensive to do it, to set it up, to get into the shows, to stay at the places where the shows are, and to have the enthusiasm after all of that to be able to meet with your customers and try to get them to write, you know, purchase orders. So it's a big deal. It really is.
Okay. And there's a book that stood out called Beans and I want you to say it out there.
It's called Bean to Bar, and it's a book that I wrote exclusively for the Hershey Chocolate Company, because at a trade show, a souvenir and resort trade show, which is specifically for gift shops that cater to entertainment, came to my booth and saw one of my books called Go Go Sadie, which is one of my super popular books that talks about a sloth that runs a marathon. So the theme of the book is to not give up on yourself, even when you're faced with obstacles, even if you're a sloth. So it became very popular over the years. It's probably almost 15 years old, this book. And it just rode the wave of like sloths becoming popular in and out of like the decades. So the people who work for the Hershey Chocolate Company came by my booth, and they basically were interested in a licensing deal, which was, we love Sadie. We'd love to have a book that has the look and feel of Sadie, but using characters that are specific to the Hershey chocolate company, like Hersh, which is the Hershey bar, Miss Kiss, which is the kisses, Reese, which is the peanut butter cup character, and they would be traveling as a group all across the United States and even into South America, looking for products or looking for the best of the best ingredients, which would go in to make a Hershey milk chocolate bar. So I was basically working on this project with them for about 3+ years because COVID happened. I wasn't able to get down to the Hershey Chocolate Company to see the process of how the chocolate bar is made. So I basically had to do my entire discovery of all of the information for this book by just going on videos, reading all the different documentaries about Milton Hershey, read about all the different plants for the cocoa bean, all the different ways they manufacture sugar, they manufacture milk, they manufacture cocoa, and all the machines that they use to combine all of these ingredients together, and be able to write it for 3- to 8-year-olds, even though there's a lot of process and fermentation and all the different processes that go into making a milk chocolate bar. I still had to be able to use all of this very advanced information on how they're using all of these ingredients combined to make one of their most famous chocolate bars into a fun adventure that is informational, but also extremely whimsical. So the kids would read it again and again and again. And then when they left the Hershey Chocolate Company, they would be like little experts on how this amazing candy bar, you know, came together. So it was a major process. It became wildly successful for the Hershey Chocolate Company. I think they're up to maybe about 15 to 20,000 units of books that they order, and they sell exclusively at the Hershey Chocolate Company and or Hershey Chocolate World, which is mostly in Pennsylvania. But they also have New York City, Niagara Falls, Las Vegas. They're in different countries. Anywhere where there's like the Hershey theme park, that's where the book would be sold. So unfortunately, it wouldn't be on the Bonnie Lee Books website, which is bonnieleebooks.com. It is exclusively sold through Hershey Chocolate Company. So you can reach out to the Hershey Chocolate
Company. That's a blessing.
And, yep, yeah. You could go straight to the Hershey Chocolate Company. I'm sure they have a gift shop. And if you can't find it on their gift shop, you could always reach out to one of their customer service agents, because I think the idea is for you to buy it at their store and not online, because it's an experiential book, because you're going to go through their ride that takes you through the whole process of how a bean becomes a milk chocolate bar. So I would highly recommend people try to find this book and read it and, you know, take you on sort of the Willy Wonka adventure of your cocoa bean turning into a delicious milk chocolate bar.
And I was just about to say that, and you brought it right on out. I said, yeah, I was just about to say Willy Wonka. So that is a blessing for you. I'm very excited for your journey. You did a lot of books, made a lot of children books, and even down to the octopus?
And Oliver
you
the octopus.
Yes, and I seen that was advertised on one. I seen it advertised on one of the FM. It's on a podcast. It's on one of the podcast outlets where they're talking about it. And there's a lot of people actually engaging to that book. So
You are making some rounds, and you definitely are touching a lot of kids and definitely helping them to understand the learning process of animals, the learning process of just learning and reading itself. And that's awesome. That is very awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a labor of love for many, many years. It actually was kind of a nonprofit for the first maybe 5 or 6 years when I was getting started, just trying to get the books into the hands of like communities that needed the books, or just libraries, or just community centers, just leaving the books wherever, like there would be like a reading rainbow, a reading mailbox, like a reading circle, just kind of leaving sprinklings of the books anywhere where I felt like educational advancement could be benefited from having the books available without costing a cent. And then as the books became more and more popular and I found my customer base, which is basically all the buyers that run zoos and aquariums, I've listened to them over the years, my buyers, about the pricing of the book and the themes of the book and what kind of animals they wanted for the books. So I wrote like Little Gift, the Giant Panda for the San Diego Zoo. And happily enough, our panda bears, they're coming back to the United States. People didn't realize that all the pandas that were in the United States, in the Smithsonian Zoo, Atlanta Zoo, in San Diego Zoo, all of those zoos that were lucky enough to have pandas, they were licensed from China and they were on loan to us as kind of like a goodwill measure of relations between the United States and China. Unfortunately, a lot of the licenses only ran about 7 years, and every 7 years, all the pandas, whether we birthed pandas or not, had to go back to China. So it was really sad for everyone because so many people wanted to see panda bears when they went to the zoo, and they were there 1 year, and then they were there for up to 7 years, and then they went back, and all the pandas were gone. But now they're coming back. So lo and behold, all of our pandas will be back in the United States for another 7 years, hopefully, because relations will remain comparable between the United States and China. And we'll be seeing a whole uptick of pandas again, just like sloths were super popular and llamas were popular, owls and foxes and all the different animals. Like the strangest one that's on trend right now is called an axolotl. An axolotl. It's a Mexican walking fish, and it's a salamander related to the amphibious family. And people love it because not only is it an underwater fish, but it has a face that has kind of a permanent smile. And it has fully formed fingers, and it could walk on its hind legs, and it also have a very long tail. It swims, it buries itself, it gets very engaged with people at the tank. And the cutest thing and the most powerful thing about this animal or this creature is it could regenerate all its parts. So if it loses an arm or a hand or a leg or a tail, it can regenerate itself. So science is really focusing on this creature right now because of its regenerative powers for people who suffered loss of limbs through cancer. So they're looking into seeing if we have anything in common with this axolotl where we can use like their regenerative abilities to maybe advance our science. So we always look to plants and animals when they have these special, incredible abilities. And most of our pharmacies and all of our different ways of healing all different types of horrible diseases usually come specifically from the plants or the animals or sharks or fish that have these incredible abilities to do the things that they do and could benefit us because of it. So these are just like little, these are just like little things we always need to think about and look about when we feel what we feel towards animals. We can't just see them as, you know, things to gawk at and just admire. We also have to respect them, and we have to like learn as much as we can about them, because without them, we don't exist. Kind of like if we decimate all of the bumblebees in the world, if they die, we die. They take all of our food with them, and we have no way of growing things, because through their pollination process, we don't have ways to grow food. So everything is very symbiotic in nature. And if we destroy all of the things that are part of the cycle of life, we're kind of killing ourselves as well. So hopefully my books teach the readers to respect wildlife conservation and learn as much about it and be curious and very faithful to the process of trying to protect them. And we'll see how that goes. We'll see. I'm just one person, and I'm trying to keep the message going, but it takes more than one.
Exactly. But I really appreciate your time and be able to discuss your books and your journey of you being an author. And is there anything else that you want to put out there before you go? Or, you know, give out your social media information?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love the readers. If you're interested in Bonnie Lee Books, you can go to BonnieLeeBooks.com. It's a website that will showcase pretty much what's coming and what's new for Bonnie Lee Books. If you go to the drop-downs where there's a store page, there's a book page, there's a contact page, you could see, and you can order the book, and you can see in the store all the things that you could buy individually. So you don't have to be a buyer at a zoo or an aquarium. You could be just a regular person looking for a book for your friend, for your child, for your friend's child, and you can order direct. And here at Bonnie Lee Books, we'll have that process for you and sent directly to you. And we have books, we have toys that match the books, so we can make a beautiful baby set if you want. And then anytime you go to a zoo in your local area and you don't see Bonnie Lee Books there, you could always ask them, how can you get Bonnie Lee Books in here? And I'm sure buyers will reach out to us. Sometimes they carry our books, sometimes they don't. They're always trying to restock the shelves with new things. So if books were there at one time and you don't see them anymore, a lot of buyers like to try new products and, you know, you get shuffled through. So don't despair. Bonnie Lee Books are pretty much everywhere, especially if you go to BonnieLeeBooks.com. So thank you so much for listening. I hope I inspired at least one or two people out there to go and try to find our books and, you know, get into the wild and whimsical adventure, and most importantly, the colorful adventures of Bonnie Lee Books.
So you definitely going to inspire a lot of people. We are WMQP 107.3 is a worldwide radio station. We are overseas in Canada, we in the whole U.S., we in islands, Mexico, in different areas. So you heard, a lot of people heard you today, and that's why I really wanted to get you on so you can give out your message. So I really appreciate you, and I know you have a lot to do. And thank you for calling in, and thank you for seeing the airwaves.
Oh, absolutely. It was my pleasure. And I wish you all a very nice day. And don't forget that your hour has just gone forward. So I'm sure everybody is like, what time is it? So, yeah, we're an hour forward right now. And I'm so glad that we were able to connect today.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I forgot the time we're going forward to. I'm glad you told me, but you have a great and productive day, love. And thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You as well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Later.